Goedemorgen, op deze eerste paasdag heel hartelijk welkom bij Hour of Power. Geweldig dat u en dat jij kijkt op deze bijzondere zondag. Het feest van de opstanding of van de verrijzenis. Over de hele wereld wordt in kerken Pasen gevierd door honderden miljoenen gelovigen die dat geloven. En het is ook zo. Het is historisch bewezen dat Christus is opgestaan uit de dood. En daarover gaat het in deze uitzending. Wat betekent dat voor jou en wat betekent dat voor mij? Dominee Orlando Bottenblij praat erover. Hij is predikant van de snelst groeiende en grootste kerkelijke gemeente van ons land. En verder veel muziek in de christelijke kathedraal die te maken heeft met Paas. Onder andere een deel uit de Messiah. En dan nog het goede nieuws. Dominee Schuller komt naar Nederland op 28 en 29 april. Zal de jonge dominee Schuller of Anthony Schuller Nederland bezoeken. Op 28 april twee bijeenkomsten in de Grote of de Lolaankerk in Apeldoorn. 'S middags om 3 uur en 's avonds om 8 uur. En dan de dag erop zondagavond in de Pieterskerk in Leiden. En dat om 8 uur. Op onze internetsite staat hoe je informatie kunt krijgen over deze bijeenkomsten en ook kaarten. Ik zou zeggen, kijk daarnaar. Maar het belangrijkste is, Christus is opgestaan. En dat is Pasen. En daarom naar de Christelijke Kathedraal.
From the Crystal Cathedral in Garden Grove, California, it's Easter Sunday morning on the Hour of Power with Robert Schuller.
And happy Easter. Wow, my name is Robert Schuller, and we welcome you to this beautiful Easter celebration. What a glorious day. And doesn't this look beautiful with the flowers? Wow, thank the people who spent all night here. The last glory of Easter last night. 10 o'clock, the people left, and then the volunteers came. What a crowd. And they spent all of the hours from 10 last night till 6 this morning bringing in the flowers. We can thank God for these wonderful gardens and flowers and the morning today, but most of all, thank you. Thank you. Easter isn't Easter until you see the smile and lock eyes with another believer. So that's what Can't you hear? Even silence says something. And listen to the silence that speaks from the empty tomb. It says, He is risen. He is risen indeed. Say it. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
He is risen indeed.
Yes, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, God, once, only once, one morning, only one morning. One day, only one day, a man came back from death, and his name was Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. be seated. On this glorious Easter morning, hear the Easter story as it is recorded in the New Testament. And this, we believe, is not a myth. It is history. Now, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven, came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. And the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen as he said he would. Now go quickly, tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him." O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. May God bless the reading of this, his holy word. we received a letter from the founder of Child Care International, Dr. Max Lang. He told us how he went from growing up under Hitler and Nazi Germany to becoming the president of one of the largest Christian international relief programs for children. It is my pleasure to welcome to the Crystal Cathedral on this beautiful Easter Sunday, Max Lang, to share with us the positive impact Christ has made in his life. Please welcome with me Dr. Max Lang. Max, God loves you, and so do we.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
So, you grew up in the era of Hitler.
That's right.
Under the influence of Hitler in Germany.
Yeah.
What was that like?
A few years ago.
Yes, it was.
What was it like? Well, I'll give you an example. The other day, I was listening and viewing, actually, an interview which a Dutch film crew shot in North Korea. And they were interviewing a group of young children, mostly girls. And as they were talking to those girls, and the answers came, like, our beloved leader is looking out after our interest. He is going to protect us when these imperialistic Americans come to make war against us. He will protect us and save us. Halfway through this interview, I said, I have heard these things before. I was part of this back in Germany in the 1940s. I was the same way indoctrinated. And it's hard for people in America to understand, who have always been free, what a totally controlled environment will do, particularly to the young, impressive minds of children. I believe with all my heart in whatever Nazi Germany and my beloved Führer Adolf Hitler did was right. So when after the war, I attended a meeting of a church where I was required to go. The pastor from the pulpit was talking about the crimes committed by Nazi Germany against the Jews. I remember it as if it was yesterday. I left the church and I turned to my friend. I said, I don't believe it.
So you just could not believe that Hitler was anything other than what you were led to believe as a young child.
Absolutely.
You were brainwashed and you were convinced that he was a wonderful, good man who was caring for his country.
Yeah. And it took some time to be disabused of that notion and to find out what really happened.
How did that take place?
Well, over a period of time. Of course, after the war, it was a matter of survival for all of Germany. And it took time to find out what really has happened. And, you know, this period of time in history has been so important to me that I tried to learn everything there was, what happened back then. Because unless we know what history has taught us, we will not know what to do in the future.
So today you're looking at the future, and your future since that point to today has been just an incredible history. You had dedicated your life to Hitler.
Yes.
And there came a time then where you dedicated your life to Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And Tell us about that transformation.
That's another story. As a young German businessman, I got a job over in Liberia, West Africa. In April of 1954, I arrived there. And a little later, I was hired by Mr. R.G. Letourneau. And those in our audience who are a little gray up in their hair will remember Mr. Letourneau, God's businessman, and many other things about him. But Mr. Letourneau had a development project over in Liberia, and I was hired there. And there, something happened. This young man, who up to this point was leading a pretty wild life, all of a sudden was confronted with a different situation. I was, again, required to go to church every morning for a devotional, and then three times a week to the church for services. And here the Word of God was talking to me and telling me. And I said, oh, what's going on? I'm a church member. I've been baptized. I'm okay. But there was this voice of God telling me, you have something yet to get. But you know what even more spoke to my heart? Was the life of the Christians who were working there with Letourneau. For the first time in my life, I came into contact with real Christians. And their lives told me, we have something which you don't have. I wanted it. But it took a long time for this proud German to accept the Lord Jesus Christ into my heart. But I did. I did.
So here we are on Easter morning. What does Easter mean to you today?
Well, back in those days, Easter meant Easter bunny, hunting Easter eggs. Today we know Easter means hope. And that hope has been my hope all these many years now. And it's my desire that those people we are working with in those countries is that they will have the same hope too.
And today you come, and it's, of course, it's Easter, and it's the day we celebrate is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So how do you compare your life today as a result of helping people?
Well, it's been very rewarding. And as we said before, Easter means hope, and I'm glad I have this hope in my life and can give it to others. That's what I'm really the proudest of, that we can spread the gospel of the good news and tell people about the resurrected Savior.
You're now celebrating your 50th anniversary.
50th anniversary of working and ministering in third world countries. Today, childcare is working in 11 different countries around the world.
So what can we do to help you in Childcare International?
Well, of course, financial help is always welcome, as you know. But I would like people to pray that we will be strong enough to do the will of God and go where He tells us to go.
So we can do that.
Yeah.
We definitely can pray. And can we do that right now?
Yes.
Dear God, we pray for Max that as he has this incredible opportunity to be used by you to help children around the world, we pray that he will have the wisdom and the insight to make the right decisions to move this institution in a positive and a powerful way to help children where they need it the most. And so we thank you, God, for this man's life, for calling him, for choosing him as one of your special people. So be with him, touch him, and go with him, we pray, in your son's name. Amen. Max,
amen.
God loves you, and so do we.
Amen.
In cold despair, they laid him in the tomb, the body of their master. Third morning came as they began to pray. Light was shining everywhere, but Jesus' body was not there. And as they gazed at an empty grave, the earth around began to shake, and they were so afraid. But voices of angels filled the air, their shouts proclaimed, "He is not here," and you can hear them say, "Who will call him King of Kings? Such a wonderful counselor, mighty God." Just like he said, he's risen from the dead, and the people say, "We will call him King of Kings, and we will call him Lord of Lords. We will call him Prince of Peace, such a wonderful counselor. I will call him King of Kings.
Who will call him King of Kings? Wie zal hem koning der koningen noemen? En dan hebben we het over, op deze paasdag, over koning Jezus. En daarover ga ik praten met dominee Orlando Bottenblij. Hij is predikant in Drachten en hij is predikant van de grootste en de snelst groeiende gemeente in Nederland. Per zondagmorgen komen er 4000 meest jonge mensen naar jouw dienst. Het is wat.
Ja, daar zijn we ook heel erg blij mee. Wij verbazen ons ook daarover, moet ik zeggen. Want iedere keer vragen mensen naar verklaringen. Maar je kunt niet altijd alles verklaren. In ieder geval merken we dat het zo'n trekkracht heeft. Dat er erg veel kinderen, tieners en jongeren, veel jonge echtparen komen inderdaad naar de diensten. En het mooie ervan is, doordat mensen zo gepakt worden door wat ze daar zo ontdekken, vooral in de ontmoeting met God in hun dagelijks leven. Ik denk bijvoorbeeld aan de afgelopen week heb ik nog een aantal gesprekken gehad met jonge echtparen die helemaal niets meer deden aan het geloof. Geweldige carrière gemaakt hebben in het leven. En toevallig werden meegenomen door vrienden. En ze zeiden nou, vanaf toen zijn we nooit meer weggebleven. Want dan merk je dat je toch iets terugvindt van God terug in je leven van ieder dag. En dan niet alleen maar op de zondag, maar ook voor de maandag, dinsdag, de hele week door.
Dat is natuurlijk de zoektocht van heel veel mensen. Wat is dat nou, Pasen? Christus is opgestaan. Maar ik kan begrijpen dat dat een beetje moeilijk en zelfs abstract begrip is. Dus kun je nog eens een keer vertellen wat daar 2000 jaar geleden in Jeruzalem gebeurde?
Ja, nadat Jezus met Goede Vrijdag gestorven is aan het kruis, om juist de gebrokenheid, je zou zeggen de ellende die wij mensen kennen en heel dicht bij ons komt in ons eigen leven. De Bijbel noemt het zonde, omdat Jezus voor de zonde van de wereld, van mij, van ons is gestorven. En daarmede eigenlijk de blokkade die er was tussen God, onze schepper, en ons mensen, heeft hij verwijderd. En de prijs daarvoor was inderdaad zijn dood. Maar 3 dagen daarna is hij echt letterlijk, lichamelijk, historisch opgestaan uit de doden. En ik vind het zo prachtig, want zelfs zijn eigen discipelen, waar hij 3 jaar mee weer was opgetrokken, bij de eerste paasdag toen ze hem tegenkwamen en Jezus aan hen verscheen, dachten ze eerst van, oh, dit kan niet, dit is een geest. Maar dan zegt Jezus, moet je zien, kijk maar, een geest heeft geen vlees en geen beenderen, zoals ik het heb. En als de mannen het nog niet willen geloven, dan zegt hij, mag ik een stuk van jullie vis? En dan eet hij een stuk vis met brood voor hun ogen op, om te bevestigen dat hij echt historisch, lichamelijk is opgestaan uit de doden.
Maar ik kan me toch voorstellen, dominee Bottenblij, dat een hoop mensen zeggen vanmorgen, die kijken en best geïnteresseerd zijn, ja, maar wat heb ik daar nou, wat kan ik daar nou mee aan?
Ja.
Moet ik ermee?
Dat kan ik me heel goed voorstellen. Ja? Ik moet altijd denken aan een tekst uit de Bijbel. Daar staat namelijk geschreven, zo is dan wie in Christus is, een nieuwe schepping. Het oude is voorbij gegaan, zie, het nieuwe is gekomen. Eigenlijk die twee dingen. Als de Bijbel spreekt over het oude, dan bedoelt de Bijbel daarmee de oude schepping. Dus zoals wij op deze aarde komen. En dan denk ik dat het aan niemand voorbij gaat. Het zij dichtbij, het zij veraf, ervaren we de gebrokenheid van het leven. Letterlijk, lichamelijk. Maar ook in onze geest, in onze emoties. Wat mensen elkaar aandoen. Wat ons is aangedaan. Mensen met zoveel wonden. Ik zeg wel eens, mensen zijn van binnen soms helemaal stuk gemaakt door wat ze hebben meegemaakt. Zoveel verdriet, zoveel bitterheid, boosheid. Niet kunnen vergeven om wat je is aangedaan. En dan zegt de Bijbel, Jezus heeft dat oude dat ons zo stuk maakt, heeft hij naar het kruis gebracht, in het graf meegenomen. En de nieuwe schepping, dat is dat God het wegdoet als wij iemand iets vergeven. Dat betekent, je wist iets uit dat tussen jou en de persoon instaat.
Mag ik je even in de reden vallen? Want dat vind ik interessant. Je komt uit Suriname. Daar is jouw broer door iemand neergestoken en vermoord. Nou, dat gaf natuurlijk een ongelooflijk verdriet in jouw leven. Je kreeg de kans om de dader te ontmoeten. En je had maar één gedachte. Als ik die vent te pakken krijg, dan maak ik hem ook een kopje kleiner. Maar je hebt hem vergeven.
Ja.
Is dat de boodschap van Pasen?
Ja.
Vergeving?
Jazeker. Toen ik hem ging ontmoeten, toen was er zo'n boosheid in me. Er was echt de gedachte van, hoe kan ik hem betaald zetten? En zo heb ik ook met hem gesproken in zijn cel, met een aantal rechercheurs om me heen. En ik heb zo gescholden, want het kwam echt diep uit mijn hart. Je zou zeggen, bijna tot uit mijn tenen vandaan, de boosheid. En toen deze man zijn verhaal vertelde, wat hij meegemaakt heeft. Want het was een jongeman van 18 jaar. Maar al vanaf zijn 7e jaar door een moord die hij begaan had op een man die bezig was zijn moeder te verkrachten. En dat hij daardoor is gevlucht, in een bende is terechtgekomen. Toen smolt er iets in mij. En dat was Gods genade, wat je niet kan omschrijven, maar wat God doet door boosheid, door bitterheid, door wrok bij mensen weg te halen. En het prachtige daarvan is, vorig jaar was ik met vakantie in Suriname. Toen heb ik hem opgezocht in de gevangenis, want hij heeft levenslang. En ik heb hem mogen omhelzen.
Zo.
En deze jongen is door een vriend van me die gevangeniswerk doet in Suriname, is hij in de loop van de jaren is hij steeds bezocht. Ik had hem een Bijbel gegeven, namelijk voor toen ik later wegging uit Suriname. En hij is inmiddels tot geloof gekomen. Dus ik heb heerlijk met hem kunnen zitten praten. En dat is het nieuwe wat ik bedoel. Dan doet Christus iets in je dat je als mens niet in staat bent te doen. Mensen worden verteerd soms door jaloersheid. Of door hebzucht. Of door dingen die hen is aangedaan. Of verwijten. Of teleurstellingen die ze hebben meegemaakt. En die zo op hun ziel drukt. Het geweldige daarvan is door Pasen, door de opstanding van Jezus Christus uit de doden, maakt Jezus het mogelijk, wanneer wij hem in wezen in ons leven toelaten. Dat betekent dat hij in ons leven komt, een relatie met ons aangaat. Dan komt er iets nieuws. En dat zie ik werkelijk wekelijks om me heen. Bij ons in de kerk, wat we natuurlijk meemaken. Mensen uit zo totaal verschillende achtergronden. Maar dat hun leven helemaal vernieuwd wordt.
En dat is Pasen.
En dat is Pasen. Ja. Het nieuwe leven dat Christus ieder mens schenken wil.
Rando, mag ik je heel hartelijk danken. Je zult er straks ook over spreken in jouw kerk. En wel een heel bijzondere boodschap, deze boodschap van Pasen. Wat anders dan de paaseieren of de paashaas waar we vaak aan denken. Misschien ben je ook geraakt door wat je net hoorde. Misschien zit je ook met problemen van, ik kan iemand wel een kopje kleiner maken om wat hij me heeft aangedaan. En leef je elke dag in met een dag uit met woede en verbittering. Nou, we willen je graag helpen. Ons gebedsteam dat wil voor mensen bidden die zeggen, ik ben zelf niet meer in staat om te bidden. Dat lukt me niet meer. Je kunt dat gebedsverzoek bij ons indienen. Ons adres verschijnt straks in beeld of via internet. En voor de mensen die voor het eerst kijken naar deze uitzending, willen we als herinnering een kruisje opsturen. Daar staat in, God loves you and so do I. Een prachtig kruisje, helemaal gratis. Ik hoop dat u of jij reageert. En je draagt het niet voor niks straks. Wij gaan terug naar de Crystal Cathedral, waar ook alles weer in paasstemming is.
The resurrection power of Jesus Christ is found in the personal relationship when we come face to face with who He is, the reality of His presence and His grace and His goodness in our lives. And Easter is a time where we recognize the fact that Christ broke through the chains of hell and death and came back to life again. That's what Easter is all about. That's the message of Easter. Jesus came. He died. And 3 days later, He rose from the grave. Why? So that you and I can experience the presence and the love and the grace of God. That's why. Now, it doesn't mean that we're not going to have tragedies in our life. Tragedies are going to happen. Just the physical death that we experience alone is tragic enough. And we all know that the most natural thing in life is physical death. We receive the promise from John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but will have everlasting life." And throughout history, there have been pastors and there have been teachers who claim that that meant physical life. But we know today that that's not true. The physical life as we've experienced it will pass away. And there will come a time when we have to go through the grief and the agony of losing loved ones and people who are dear. And it's a tough time. We need to pray for the people who are going through very difficult times today. All the families whose loved ones are in troubled parts of this globe, like Iraq and Afghanistan, and there are many other troubled parts of this globe. There are families who are in hospitals this morning. In fact, yesterday I went to the hospital to call on some good friends of ours, Lorinda and Mike. They have a little boy. His name is Jordan. And over a week ago, he started having what they thought was the flu, and the flu just persisted for 3 days, and his fever continued until finally he started getting delirious and started saying things and doing some weird things. So they took him to the doctor, and the doctor diagnosed him with spinal meningitis. He's been in the hospital now for a week. For a long time, he wasn't able to eat. And so yesterday, I was there with the family, and I put my hand on his head, and we prayed together. And I could feel that heat coming off of his head. And they were very happy because his temperature was now down to 99.6. We prayed for him. It's a tough time. There's many people in the hospital this morning, on Easter morning. But the good news about Easter is that we have the promise that when the time comes, and it will come for every single one of us, when the time comes for us to leave this earth and to enter this new spiritual realm that we do not understand, but we know exists, we see it, we understand it, science, molecular mechanics is starting to comprehend it and try to mathematically equate it, so we know it's there. The time will come when that happens, and we will remember Easter. What is Easter all about? I was reading my Bible yesterday, and a little girl, Marissa, came up to me and she said, "What are you reading?" I said, "Oh, I'm reading my Bible." She said, "Oh, what's it about?" I said, "Oh, it's about Jesus. Do you know Jesus?" She goes, "Yeah, I know about Jesus." I said, "So do you know about Easter?" She goes, "Yeah, I like Easter. I get presents on Easter." I said, "So do you know that about Jesus dying on the cross?" "Yeah, I know about Jesus dying on the cross. Do you know about him coming back from the dead and what that's about? That's what Easter is?" She goes, "No, I didn't know that." I said, "Well, Jesus died, and after he died, they put him in this great big cave, and then they rolled this great big rock in front of the cave so the animals wouldn't get his body or somebody wouldn't try and steal his body." And that's the way they buried people 2,000 years ago, because this book is 2,000 years old. And her eyes got this big. "That book is 2,000 years... No, not this book. I'm sorry, this message is 2,000 years old. Oh, okay. So that's a copy." I go, "Yes, this is a copy." I said, "So they rolled this big stone. And then these ladies went to the tomb to pray for Jesus and to put some spices on his body and stuff. And when they went there, the stone was rolled away because he came back to life again." She goes, "Oh, good. Now I know what Easter is all about." She goes, "Well, how do you know it's true?" Boy, out of the mouth of babes. Whew. "How do you know it's true?" I said, "Well, there were these four people actually witnessed and saw Jesus after he resurrected from the dead, after he came out of that tomb. There's four different people who wrote about him, and there was a whole bunch of people who saw him. And so we know it's true." "Oh," she says, "the message is real. It took place 2,000 years ago, and today we don't have the liberty of seeing Jesus physically in our presence. I have heard testimonies of people who say they have. I personally have not. Very rare, those who have. But what's more important is the words of Jesus when he said, 'Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe.'" And that's most of us here today. We have not seen the resurrected Jesus Christ. We have not had the privilege of hearing his voice speak to us and say, "Put your hands in my sides. Put your hands in my palms if you do not believe." But instead, we believe because we have heard the testimonies of people who gave their lives because it was true. And by not renouncing the reality of it, they gave their lives. And the day will come when we each come face to face with God. That is a guarantee. You know, there's two things in life that are guaranteed. One is taxes. And the other one's the fact that the physical bodies that we have
will not last forever. In fact, the Bible says they can last up to 120 years. Man's day shall not be forever, it says in Genesis 6. Man's day shall not be forever. It shall be 120 years. So there may be some people who live to be 120 years old. But the time will come when we face Jesus and we see God face to face. And God will ask us when we come into His presence, "Why should I let you into heaven?" And if you answer, "Oh," start listing all the good things you've done, He's not going to be very impressed. The answer when God asks you, "Why should I let you into heaven?" is very simple. Because Jesus gave me an invitation. That's why. And then He'll ask you, "Oh, did you send in your RSVP? "I sent in my RSVP and said, Lord, when I get there, you can count on me coming. I'm coming there. I'm accepting the invitation of Jesus Christ. But don't make it too soon." Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. And so we have been given the invitation. And today we send in our RSVP. And the way we respond with the RSVP is very simple. We simply pray. And we tell God that we're accepting and believing in Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and Lord. And the day will come when we stand before God and we are invited in. He'll prepare a place for you, and you will sit at the table of God. Would you like to join me in a prayer and send your RSVP in today? Let's do it. Dear Heavenly Father, we send to you our joy, our belief, our prayer. This is our RSVP to your invitation to join you when that day comes where you call us home. And so, O Lord, we ask you to prepare a place for us, to prepare a place that when we come into your presence, we will receive the invitation and we will receive the joy and the goodness of your grace and your love and your joy. For truly, this is what Easter is all about. And so we thank you, Lord, for your love, your grace, your goodness, your peace. Thank you, God, for everything. Amen.
We knew he was dead. "It is finished," he said. We had watched as his life ebbed away. Then we all stood around till the guards took him down. Joseph begged for his body that day. It was late afternoon when we got to the tomb, wrapped his body and sealed up the grave. So I know how you feel. His death was so real. But please listen and hear what I say. I've just seen Jesus. I tell you, He's alive. I've just seen Jesus, our precious Lord, alive. And I knew He really saw me too. gentle words, asking what was my reason for tears. And I sobbed in despair, my Lord is not there. He said, child, it is I am he.
The Lord bless you
and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord grant you his peace. In your lying down and in your rising up, in your labor and in your leisure, in your laughter and in your tears, until you come to stand before Jesus. And that day in which there is no sunset and no dawning. Amen.
Een prachtig stuk uit de Messiah. Misschien wel het mooiste. For the Lord God, the Almighty reigneth. En het geloof waar we het nu in deze uitzending over hebben gehad, dat beheerst al eeuwenlang mensen, landen, de geschiedenis. Zoals George Friedrich Handel, die dat prachtige stuk schreef, de Messiah. En dat was geïnspireerd op een voorspelling van de komst van Jezus, de opgestaande. Wij nemen afscheid en zeggen graag tot volgende week. Kijk nog even op onze internetsite www.hourofpower.nl. En iedereen hele goede en fijne paasdagen toegewenst. En kom je nooit in de kerk? Ga er eens een keer kijken. Tot volgende week.